The Old Testament reading for this morning is taken from 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning at verse 4. The king went into Gibeon to sacrifice there for that was the great high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love and given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David, my father. Although I am but a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this your great people?" It pleased the Lord, and Solomon had asked this, and God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discuss what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you have been before you, and none like you shall rise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Then he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings and made a feast for all his servants. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us join in the gradual. To us a child is born, to us a son is given.
And the government shall be upon his shoulder.
And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Sing to the Lord a new song.
For he has done marvelous things.
The epistle reading for this morning is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that he should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is a guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. Glory be to you, O Lord. The child Jesus grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it. But supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. This is the word of the Lord. Let us join in confessing our most holy faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The epistle lesson for this morning. I noticed that in the English translation of this section of the letter to the Ephesians, there are several places where there have been, it appears, maybe not, let's see. Oh, I bet you didn't catch this, but that's all one long sentence. All one long sentence, verses 3 through 14. That would have drove my wife crazy. You got to understand, before she married me, she used to do my papers at the seminary. And she was good. She knew what was a run-on sentence. She knew things I couldn't do or say grammatically. That would have drove her crazy. But the other thing I thought, look at all those commas now in here. I always had a problem with commas in school. I even had a tutor one time, and he just told me, just put a comma wherever you think one ought to go. actually, as I've gotten older, that's not as hard to do. I mean, I see places that I go, this needs a comma here. And I stick it. It's usually correct. I guess that's that wisdom that comes with getting older. I don't know. There's a lot of talk about wisdom in the readings today. We hear that in the opening reading with 1 Kings and the young boy Solomon, who's just become king, has a vision while he's sleeping. He has a vision. And God, you ask him, what would you like? And he says, well, you know, I'm pretty young and I really don't know a lot about this ruling stuff, in a sense. I mean, he said, you know, I'm just a boy. I don't know about coming in and going out. And he says, you know, wisdom, because this is a great, mighty people you have here. And David ruled, you know, in a way, I guess he would say, wisdom, with wisdom. And God grants this to him. In fact, it said God really liked what Solomon requested, because it wasn't things that he requested. He could have had the things. Interestingly enough, God says, but since you didn't ask for those, I'm going to give them to you anyway, so that all the king, there would be no king in all the world like you. In the epistle lesson, actually, you know, St. Paul talks about wisdom again, God's wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom that you and I have through Christ. Wisdom. And then, of course, we hear about the wisdom of our Lord Jesus. How the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. But it doesn't stop there. It goes on at the end to say, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Wisdom. I guess wisdom does come also with growing older, doesn't it? It's good to actually, well, I'm talking mistakes. I'm not talking about sin, though, you know, I'm talking about mistakes. It's good to make mistakes now and then because we learn from them, right? I mean, if we're putting something together and it doesn't come out the way the picture looks like on the box, I'm thinking about myself again. Sorry. But, yeah, I had this problem when I love putting together models, and I would get them home and I wouldn't read the instructions. Well, I got a good picture on the box. I can figure this out. It took a while to let my dad's words sink in, which were wise words. Read the instructions, son. Wisdom does come with making mistakes too, doesn't it? It comes with life experience. We, as we grow older and we see more and more of life, perhaps we do become wiser. I hope we do, especially as Christians, because God has given us wisdom from on high. He has given us His Son, and His Son makes us wise unto salvation. We know what God's will is because we have His Word, and we can study that Word. We can meditate on that Word. We can sing that Word. And as we do so, we grow in wisdom. Fear of the Lord, in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord. Not the love of the Lord, but the fear of the Lord. Fear in the sense that God is who God is. He is holy. He is righteous. He is pure. He is without fault, without sin. There is no evil in God. So yes, we should fear the Lord because we are nothing like the Lord. We are nothing like that. And for us to stand in the presence of this God should be a fearful thing. But we know a God who is not to be feared in the sense that God is looking to do us harm. God sees our fallen state. He knows what we are made of. He knows how we want to sometimes do what is right and not able to, and how we sometimes want to. Nah, we don't always want to do good, and we don't always want to do bad. But we as Christians do want to do good all the time. But still, that whole dichotomy is still there, isn't it? The good I want to do, I don't do, even though I believe and I trust in God. I fear God and love God because He loves me. He doesn't want harm for my life. He wants me to live in His presence. And so He makes that possible through the Son who comes into this world as an infant and grows just like you and I, and He grows in every way, humanly speaking. In His state of humility, He grows in wisdom and in stature. He grows through life experiences, one might say, not that God isn't aware of our frame or what we do, but in a new way, in a sense, I think you could say, since God assumed humanity into Himself by becoming incarnate, that He experiences what you and I experience. But He does so in a righteous manner, in a state of purity and holiness. But He is capable of sin, otherwise He would not be human. Even after Adam and Eve were created, though they were created in God's image, pure and holy, yet they did sin. But Jesus experiences the same things you and I experience. He experiences the need to go to school. He experiences the need for food and rest. He experiences all those things. But He also, at the same time, knows His origins. He knows where He is from. He knows He's not 100% like you and I, because He is pure and righteous and holy. And I can't help but imagine from the time He was born, He was in communication with the Father, because that's His life. His life, in the sense, when you read the Gospels and you read how He is always in prayer with His Father, there is a communication that is constant. It is never broken except on the cross. There it is broken for the first time ever. Ever. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus says. And we know why. Because He is carrying our sins. And though He is without sin, sin cannot be in the presence of God. God will not permit it. It will not happen. It will not be allowed. That's why in heaven we are told there is none of those things that happen in this world going on there. There are no thieves in heaven. There are no adulterers in heaven. There are no idolaters in heaven. There are none of the things that we associate with sin in heaven, because it cannot exist there. It cannot. And it won't ever exist there. Jesus carries our sin so that we are made righteous before God, so that we can approach our Father in heaven with only Him as our advocate. For day and night He stands before the Father's throne and He intercedes for you and for me. Jesus came into the world to bring this all about. But He grows like you and I do. He had to learn to be a carpenter from His human father, Joseph. He had to learn that trade like anyone else would need to learn it. He had to learn to handle the tools according to His humanity. I'm speaking now. It's not like God doesn't know these things, but God has emptied Himself when He took on the form of a servant and became a man. He grew in wisdom and stature for you and I. But he shows his divinity in that while this is all going on, we get an example of this, a picture of this through the gospel lesson that Luke gives us of Jesus as a 12-year-old boy. They go to Passover, an annual event. They always go, we are told. But this time, something different happens. This time, when they leave, Jesus stays behind. And he stays there in the temple. By the time his parents have discovered this truth, they have to turn around after already journeying one day. And they head back. And then they spend 3 days, once they get back there, searching for him. And then they find him in the temple. And what is he doing? He's listening. He's listening to the teachers of the law. And they are astonished by him. They are astonished by him because of the questions he asks and the answers he gives. And when the parents find him, they are a little upset, right? But Jesus tells them, why were you searching for me? It's like he's saying, you should have come right here. Did you not know I had to be in my Father's house? Another way of saying, did you not know I had to be about my Father's business? Oh, not Joseph's business. God's business. I had to be about that business. And he still is today. You know, a lot of people look for Jesus, especially when perhaps they haven't looked for him in a while. They've just kind of taken for granted the good things that have come their way and haven't really remembered their faith that they grew up into as a child. And as the years went by, perhaps they even stopped coming to church. But that was okay in their minds because perhaps they thought, well, I'll return at the right time. But then something bad happens. I don't know. Financially, something bad happens. Perhaps a disease happens. Perhaps COVID-19 happens. And people start looking for Jesus. And they're searching all over the place for Jesus. They're calling out to him, Lord, why don't you listen to me? Why don't you hear me? And then maybe they think about the church and they come to the church. But they still don't necessarily hear Jesus, because maybe in that place, Jesus isn't what's being proclaimed. Maybe something else is being proclaimed, because in that place, the Word of God has become vacant. So they cry out. Hopefully, they will enter into a place that proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hopefully, someone will be still doing that when they are searching for the Lord, so that they may encounter Christ, at least through the proclamation of his word. Maybe that will be a helpful thing. But more importantly, I think, for you and I, is where do we look for Jesus? When things get rough, I know we pray to our Lord. We probably do it all the time. I'm not trying to be, Pastor, you know I don't pray all the time. Well, neither do I, but you know what I mean? We do pray all the time because we sometimes that prayer may be one word to God. You know, we may be praising God in one moment and then we're back to whatever we were doing before. Maybe there was something that we lost and we couldn't find it. But suddenly there you are praising God and giving him thanks, because we know that all things that happen for us happen from God. And he is worthy of praise and honor. But where do you go? Where do you go to find Jesus? I'm going to tell you. You go to his house. I'm not talking about here in this building. I'm talking about the house of the Lord. Isn't that right? Your hearts. Because Jesus said that. Those who love me, my Father and I will make our home in your hearts. Where are you looking for Jesus? We don't have to go up a mountain to find Jesus. We don't have to go to the depths to bring him up. He is right here in our hearts. He is every day there with you when you arise in the morning and when you lay your head on your pillow to sleep at night. He is there with you. He is just a voice away, like someone you're talking to who's in the same room with you. There is your Lord. There is Jesus. He's right there because he says, don't you know I have to be about my Father's business? Don't you know I have to be in my Father's house? His business is about us. That's why he came into the world. That's why he died on the cross. That's why he was raised to life. You can't even find the body of Christ because he's not in a tomb. He's not in the ground. You cannot find the remains of Jesus because there are no remains to be found. He ascended into heaven, body and soul, glorified. The second person of the Trinity, no longer in a state of humility, but power. And because he is there in power, he is also able to be in every one of his people's hearts. He is able to be in the sacrament that's at our altar and in other churches that are celebrating the Lord's Supper today. He is able to do that because he is powerful and he is God, and he's able to do what he says because he is without sin. He cannot lie. So we have this assurance made from our Lord that he is with us. We do not need to look for where he is at. He is with you always. Jesus said that, I will be with you to the end of the age. He will never leave you. You may think at times that you are alone. You may think that there is no one who cares, but that would be false. Because God does care, and God loves you, and God has made his home in you. You see, this is the wisdom that I'm talking about. The fear of the Lord, the love of God. This God is so powerful. He can do these things. And I love him because he did it for me and he did it for you. What an awesome God we have. Amen.